event this week. And Lord, these are things that we need divine help with. And we pray that you would just really minister in all these prayer requests that have been given, and just really help folks right where they are. And pray for Annis today as Gordon went on to heaven this week. We pray you'd continue to comfort her and minister in her life. Again, Lord, ask you to bless our time together now in Jesus' name. Amen. Come in, come in. Oh, you guys are still out there. Sorry about that. When I say 10 minutes, I mean 10 minutes. They had to travel all the way from West Kingsport, so you know they're on the slow bus today. Not the short bus, but the slow bus. You know, everything rises and falls on leadership, David. You'd be proud of David. David was in yesterday washing dishes, heating the syrup, making the eggs. There you go. Breaking. Oh, you broke them. Okay, you didn't actually do the cooking. He did leave the cooking to the ladies, for which we're thankful. So, but anyway, good. You know what, folks? As believers ought to have more fun than anybody else. Do you know it? I mean, hallelujah. We've been released from the penalty of sin. If you're a child of God, you're on your way to heaven. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You have the right to come into the very throne room of heaven and talk to God the Father. I mean, folks, we ought to be the most joyful people in the world. And aren't you glad that as believers we can have a good time and not have all kinds of regrets because of it? Now, I'll be honest, there are times I do say things in jest that I do have regrets about. But I'm speaking about people who take drugs and all the different problems and the drinking and all the things the world has to do to have fun, and it just reaps all kinds of problems. I hope you have the joy of the Lord in your life today. I hope you do. If you don't, you need to get it, all right? You need to stop and realize who you are, what the Lord has done for you, what he's going to do for you, and you ought to have the joy of the Lord in your heart and life, okay? Good. In chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, we saw the church that was saved, it was separated, it was a soul-winning church, it was a second-coming church. God had done a mighty work. Paul had come to that area, and God had used him and had a great impact on those people's lives. In chapter 2, Paul is defending his ministry. He is under attack. The Jews are saying, oh, he's just after money. Oh, if he really cared about you, when the persecution, by the way, Gladys, good morning, good to see you again, great. He said, if Paul really cared about you guys, when problems came, he wouldn't have left. He was just here to build himself a name and get himself a following, and his motives were all wrong, his actions were wrong. And so Paul is having to defend his ministry. It's amazing how the devil oversteps himself. If the Jews hadn't been attacking, Paul wouldn't have written 1 Thessalonians. We wouldn't have all this great teaching for us today. I heard of a situation this week with Micah Johnson. And pray for Micah. He is in a sociology class at ETSU full of freshmen. He's the only upperclassman because he started late. This week, the professor, who is a liberal, wicked man, homosexual, you name it, he's it, was talking about people who go to prison can never make anything out of their lives. And Micah raised his hand again, said, I want you to know I was in prison for 2 years, and because I made right choices, because of the church, because of people who love me, I have a good job, I have a nice place to live, I have a car, God has changed my life. After class, he was out underneath a tree. Eight of these freshmen surrounded him, and he was able to give them the gospel and talk about the Lord. The devil overstepped his boundary once again, folks. He thought he had it going. And he said when he got done, the professor just stood there. I would have loved to have seen that. I really would. Good stuff. Well, this is what happens here. The Apostle Paul is writing to defend himself, and he's going to talk about his ministry. And he's going to talk about what he did that allowed him to have an impact in that area. Now, I know Paul is speaking as a preacher of the gospel, and most of you are not ordained or full-time ministry people. Come in, come in. Find a seat. There's a bunch right there. Good to have you all with us. Good. But folks, God has called all of us to have an impact on the people that are around us. And we talked about this last week, and I want to ask you a question. How'd you do this week? Did you have an impact for righteousness where you were? Can you tell me someone this week specifically that you impacted for Christ? I see some folks shaking their hands. I see a hand raised. Folks, if we don't have an impact for Christ, who's going to? Now, we'll review just a little bit here. We're actually looking through the record of Paul's presentation, his defense of himself. And we saw the reason, and that was he was under attack. We're looking at the record in verse 1 and 2. He says, it was not vain, it wasn't empty, it had an impact because we were bold for the Lord. And by the way, boy, don't those two things tie together? People who have an impact for God are people who are bold for God. If you don't speak up for the Lord, you're not going to have an impact for the Lord. You're not going to have an impact on people's lives. He said, look, folks, in verse 3 and 4, I was not motivated by false teaching or error. I wasn't motivated by selfish desires. I wasn't motivated by a desire to trick anybody. He said, I've been entrusted with the gospel, and he said, I want to give it out. And then in verse 5 through 12, we looked at his conduct, or we're looking at his conduct, and we talked about this last week. Look at what, again, the negative things. He said there was no flattering words. I read an interesting statistic this morning. A man who has done a great deal of study in the charismatic movement says that 90% of charismatics believe in the prosperity gospel. Do you know what that is? You get saved, you got it all, man. You know, health, wealth, prosperity, you got it all. He said the interesting thing is, he said 79% of those people who profess to be charismatics and believe the prosperity gospel live under the poverty level. Something's not right. Something's not right. Folks, look, when we are trying to make an impact for God and for Christ, we don't do it by changing the truth. We give them the truth no matter what. I hope you gave out the truth this week. And by the way, Mike also mentioned this Monday night. He's over our basketball outreach, and he preaches to all these young guys every Monday night. And said that he was walking on campus, and he said, you wouldn't believe all the junk that I see on campus, positive and negative. One of them was there was a young man. I don't know if there's some kind of open theater or some kind of place on campus, and there was a guy preaching there doing some, and calling all the women, and I won't use the word that he used, but it was a very derogatory term, and just negative and ripping on people, and, you know, suppose in the name of Christ, okay? We are to speak the truth in love. But you are to speak the truth. And Paul said, look, folks, when I came to you, I didn't change the message. I didn't change the message. I still gave the gospel. Secondly, he said there was no cloak of covetousness. This is all review, so I'm hurrying along here. He said, I didn't have any secret desire for personal gain or wealth. Didn't do it for me. Thirdly, he said, I was not seeking for honor. This is in verse 6. It wasn't about Paul. That makes it simple, doesn't it? Why are we trying to impact people? So we can stand up in church and say, well, I just want you to know that I am so spiritual. And I did this, and I did this, and I... No, it's not about us. It's about Christ. It's always about Christ. It's always about lifting up Christ. You heard Pastor several weeks ago when he was preaching on John the Baptist. And what did John the Baptist say? He must increase and I must decrease. It's not about us, folks. It's never about us. By the way, when it becomes about you, your motive is wrong and people can tell, can't they? It's not about us. It's always about Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 4:11, Paul said, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." We also saw the positive side in verse 7. He said, I was like a mother nursing her children, that nurturing side. Give me some words that would describe a mother who is nurturing to her children. She would be what? What's that? Tender, loving. Hello. You guys speak really loud when you're fellowshipping before class, but when you give answers, you're very timid. Long-suffering, there you go. Compassionate. Yeah, and that's how we need to be toward people, don't we? And then he said not only was it gentle care, it was sacrificial care. And then we move to verse 9 through 12, and this is new stuff. So that was all real quick review. And he says in verse 9, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." He said, look, folks, the reason I had impact is because I worked hard. There was hard work. There was hard labor. He said, I worked night and day. Now, I have been telling you that the only record we have in Scripture of how long he spent in Thessalonica was the fact that he preached 3 Sabbath days. This kind of tends to give us an idea he might have stayed there longer because he was working. You know that Paul, by profession, was a tent maker. He did not accept their money. He was there working. He may have been there several months. We still don't really know, but he worked at it, and he worked at it, and he worked at it. Look, folks, if we're going to have an impact on people's life, it will be because you work at it, and you work at it, and you work at it. At the funeral on Friday night, preacher talked some about Annis, and she was in the bus ministry, I think, some 20 years. And folks, she had an impact on people's lives. You know why? Because she worked at it, and she worked at it, and she would go out visiting Saturday morning with somebody, and then she'd come home for lunch and grab Gordon, and they'd go out and they'd visit a couple more hours, and they worked at it, and they worked at it, and it had an impact on people's lives. Look, folks, you're not going to impact people's lives just by showing up and looking good. I mean, you do look good, you know, most of you. But that's not going to get the job done, folks. We got to work at it. You got to work at it. And so Paul said, look, folks, I want you to remember how hard I labored among you. And then look at the next thing in verse 10. Excuse me. Yeah, verse 10. "You are witnesses in God also how holily," it's a nice word, "and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." So he gives 3 words here that described his behavior. He said it was devout, pleasing to God. It was holy behavior. It was just behavior. He did that which was right. When people looked at his life, they saw what was right. And look at that third one. This is a biggie right here. What's the third one? He said, "I was blameless." He said, nobody can look at my life and say, I'm not going to get saved because Paul. Or no one can discount my ministry because they can look at my life and they say, look what Paul did. Wow, what a statement. Can you think of an Old Testament character that had that same kind of testimony? Daniel, good. Who said that? Very good, Mr. Pruitt. Straight A's this morning. These guys want to get rid of Daniel. Now, if the guys at your workplace, the girls at your workplace, want to get rid of you, could they just look at your life and go to your boss and say, Phil says, I wish they would get rid of me. He owns his own company. Can they look at your life and just say, well, look, man, here's where he stole from the company, or here's where he's leaving late and coming in late, and or leaving early and coming in late, and here's where they're doing these things? Or would they have to say, you know what? His life is blameless. If you were to go to them and say, hey, I want to give you the gospel, would they say to you, what? You give me the gospel? You're no different than I am. You act the same way I do. You laugh at the same things I laugh at. You look at the same things I look at. You're no different. Or would they look at your life and would it be like Daniel? Guys couldn't find. Listen to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion or fault. Wow, what a testimony. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. What a testimony. In Ephesians 5, he says, you know, you need to walk circumspectly. Circumspectly. Why? Because people are watching your lives. It's interesting, yesterday morning, I think it was yesterday morning in prayer meeting, pastor was speaking about the Tollies. Some of you know Tony and Jennifer Tolley. When they first came to church, I like that was funny the way pastor said it. His hair was as long as her hair, and they came in and God began to work in their lives. They were living together. They had several children, and one of the first things they did, they got married. And he showed up one service and his hair was cut. Nobody told him to. He was reading in that booklet that pastor's given about leadership, and he said, you know what, if I'm being in leadership, I've got to cut my hair. So he cut his hair. And they're starting to witness to people. And I think either Tuesday or Thursday, Pastor and Brad went and visited a list of people that Tony and Jennifer had given to them, and they're all family members. They're all people that know them very well. And as they talked to these people, every one of them said, boy, they have really changed. And one of them, an uncle, made a profession of faith. And I think probably, I mean, I'm not God. I don't know what his thinking was. But probably much of that credit would go to Jennifer because, well, really to the Lord, the way the Lord changed Jennifer's life. That's exciting. They said, man, something has really changed in her life. Look, folks, if our life is not holy and righteous and blameless, what kind of a testimony do we have? What kind of power do we have in witness? Now, look, I know none of us are perfect. I know that. We all fail. But, folks, if we're going to have an impact on people's lives, we're going to have to do what's right. I was visiting... my wife and I are visiting Thursday night with one of the families here in a church, and their daughter was there, and her husband had lost his job, and they think it's because his boss wanted to do some illegal stuff, and he said, I'll have no part of it, and he left. He took a stand. He was blameless. Folks, how you doing with that? The writer, Paul Gilbert, no relation to Bob, I don't think, wrote, you are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithful or true, just what is the gospel according to you? That's pretty good, isn't it? What is the gospel according to you? Not by what you say, but by what you do. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, a very familiar verse. He says, let your light so shine among men, before men, that they may see your what? Good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He said, you need to live your life a certain way so that people get a right view of God and they get that from your life. He said, I worked hard, hard labor. Secondly, holy lives. And then verse 11 and 12, we'll finish there today. They were helpful in their living. Let's look at verse 11 and 12. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who has called you into his kingdom and his glory. Remember, we're looking at Paul. How did he have such an impact on these people's lives? Well, he lived it. He worked at it. He did all he could to give it to them. He nurtured them as a mother, but now he comes along and he says, look, we dealt with you individually. Of course, they preached all of them, but they dealt with them individually. How many of you have been through our Stepping in the Light program? All right, good. A bunch of you. And right here, good. You know what that's all about? That's working with people individually and spending time for 8 weeks or 9 weeks or 10 weeks or whatever it takes to get them grounded in the faith. There's great commitment to that, folks. Paul said, we work with you individually, and we did it like a father. Now, it's interesting. He said before we were like a mother. Now he says we're like a father. What are the duties of the father? Leadership? What else? What's that? Discipline? That's right. What else? I hear, what's that? Provide? Protect? It's all the women that are saying these things, man. I'm not sure, except for Mike. Mike spoke up. Thanks, Mike. How about teaching? All of these things, and it's interesting here, he's talking about how a father comes along and trains and teaches. I tell you, folks, it may take a few moments to lead someone to Christ, which obviously is where it all starts. It takes days and weeks and months and maybe even years to help them to grow in the Lord and to teach them and to get them firmly grounded and going on for the Lord. Now, obviously, you've got to have the first before you have the second, all right? We're trying to do both here at the church. And Paul said, look, we took time and we work with you as a father. And he very specific now in verse 11. He said, we exhorted you. That's an interesting word. It's the Greek word, you know this word, parakaleo. You know that word? Some of you do. That's the name of the Holy Spirit is called the parakaleo, and we get the word, what's the English word? Comforter, and the word means to come alongside of. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, I came alongside of you, and I encouraged you, I ministered to you, I exhorted you, I instructed you in the ways of God. And he said, not only that, but there was comfort involved. There was soothing. There was help. There was encouragement. There was charging. There was an encouragement to do right. He did all of these things. And what was his goal? Look at this in verse 12. That you would walk worthy of God who has called you into his kingdom of glory. Now, what does that mean, to walk worthy? He said, we wanted you to walk worthy of God. What does that mean? Let me throw it out to you here. For those that didn't stay up and watch the Alabama game, you guys are all in la-la land at this point. Did you stay up, Scott? Yeah, I figured you might. I didn't. Did they have a football team? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I know they won, and they only lost one game. Okay, good. Now I've got your minds. At least I woke some of you up, though. That was good. That was good. All right. what does it mean that he says that you would walk worthy of the Lord? What's that? Be an example. Be an example. You know, what does it sound like? Let's back up a step. What does it sound like he's saying? Yeah, I helped you guys so you'd be worthy of Christ. Well, is anybody worthy of Christ? No, so we know it doesn't mean that. But I think Craig's really hit it, this idea of an example, that you would be like Christ, that you would show his worth, not your worth, but his worth, and you would be an example of what Christ is. Think about this, that you would bring honor to him, not dishonor. Boy, again, does your life bring honor to Christ? Are you working with other people that their lives would bring honor to Christ? By the way, we've been talking a little bit about fathers here. Let me just back up and take a rabbit trail here since I've got a few minutes. We had the ladies kind of help us here with what the responsibilities of the husband is. But what should your greatest goal as a father be for your children? Well, I want to make sure they get a good education so they can make a living. Now, I know that's kind of selfish because you don't want to live home the rest of their life and you have to feed them. I know what you're out there, but... And that is important, and I'm not against that, okay? But is that the most important thing? What's the most important thing you can do with your child? Raise them for the Lord. Raise them that their life glorifies the Lord. And we've swung all the way back around to the purpose for why we're here, and that is to glorify God, to give a proper reflection of God. And that should be your job as a parent. By the way, punishment is given for what reasons? Really twofold. What are they? Punishment for what you did, but is that it? Consequences for actions. And to redirect, that's a good word, to change them so that they are more like Christ. There's a positive aspect to it too. And by the way, if you don't discipline them and you let them just go on their way, they're not going to be like Christ. We were helping Hannah last night at, was that a fall festival or over at Fall Branch? And we saw several children that need to be redirected. Yeah. They're the kinds of kids that walk by and you say, praise the Lord. That's not my child, you know. I tell you, fathers, our most important responsibility is to help our children to be like Christ. It's a big job, a lot to overcome. And Paul said, that is why I'm doing what I'm doing. He said, I'm doing all these things that believers, that people would be saved and that their lives would be changed and that they become more like Christ. That's the end goal of this whole thing. So Paul was a man who had impact on people's lives. He worked at it. He lived it. He tried to reach them. I want you to stop just for a moment. I'm going to let you out a little bit early today because we've got this military thing and this will help us kind of get organized. And many of you just turned your brains off when I said that, okay? Come back to us, okay? Come back where we were, all right? I want you to stop for a moment and think about the people that you come in contact with on a daily basis. Specifically, people who are not believers or maybe are believers but are not living for the Lord. How can you have an impact on their lives? We've got to work at it. We've got to give them the truth. We've got to be gentle like a mother. Once they get saved, we have to be teaching like a father to bring them to likeness to Christ. I encourage you to pray as we did last week. Let me just take a poll. It's politics time. You know, we can take polls. How many of you this week, we're praying, Lord, give me an opportunity to impact someone for you, and you feel like Christ gave you a very clear opportunity this week to impact someone for Christ? Amen. Good. Good. Okay. I didn't count. 10, 15 hands maybe out of probably 90 people. Okay. How many of us does God want making an impact for him? Every single one of us. Okay? So I encourage you and exhort you, the same way I ended last week, I encourage you to pray and ask the Lord, give me somebody that I can influence for Christ this week. Or maybe today or tomorrow. Someone I can influence for Christ. Then be looking and be ready to do what the Lord wants you to do. Folks, we need to make an impact for Christ. We need to. Let's do it, okay? Let's be busy this week seeking the Lord, saying, Lord, give me opportunity. Give me boldness to take the opportunity. Let's get the job done, okay? Lord, we do thank you again for Paul's life, for his example. And I pray that this week you would help us as we seek to make an impact for you. Give us opportunity, I pray. Help us to take it and to be bold in giving the gospel, influencing people for you, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, if you're a veteran involved with the military, find your place in the church.